time just to remind ourselves of how to deal with the problem of worry. When you are overcome with worry, last week we talked about when you can't sleep at night, and maybe you can't sleep at night sometimes because you're worried. So this follows up on that. When you are overcome with worry, Jesus spoke to that issue directly in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you remember, the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And it's directed to Christians, to citizens of the kingdom of God, to show us how we are to live. And so a kingdom citizen should not be someone who's consumed, overcome with anxiety and worry. Jesus talks about that in very practical terms and gives us some ways to overcome it. Look at Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Those words are so familiar, aren't they? We've heard them, read them, probably most of us, again and again. And they really resonate when we read them, I think. They do with me. They resonate. I feel it. It's not just something that I read, but I feel it inside because it's so true. We know it's true, every word that we just read here. And yet, we again and again have to grapple with the problem of anxiety and worry. It keeps rearing its head in our lives. Now, I think it does for some more than others. Some personality types are more given to this than others are. But I think everybody goes through periods, seasons, situations where they struggle and deal with this problem of worry. What are we to do when we feel like we're being overwhelmed by something that we face or something that someone we love is facing? The word worry comes from an old English word that means to choke or to strangle. And if you have ever felt that, you know exactly what that means. You get some news, or you see something, or you hear something, and immediately you have that sense that you almost can't breathe. You're overwhelmed. It's like your heart, it doesn't probably actually stop, but it may feel like it does. And you may not hardly be able to eat. You maybe can't sleep. You are facing something, or you have seen or heard something about someone you love that is terrifying. Worry, anxiety takes over. I don't think we can ever completely control that initial reaction. when we get bad news or when we see or hear something, the initial emotional response. But I think what we can learn to do is to not let that then become the norm. We can, after the initial shock or sense of fear has struck us, I think Jesus gives us handles here on what we can do so that we're not constantly overwhelmed and overcome with worry. Well, the first thing to note, I believe, is we are to run to a different perspective. Run to God's perspective. And so when you begin to feel worried and anxious, force yourself to look at things from God's perspective. That's what Jesus does here in this passage. That's what he's talking. As he's talking, he is God who became a man, isn't he? He is the Son of God. And so what we hear from him about life is God's perspective. And it is so different than when we try to take control of everything ourselves, when we try to figure everything out and be able to understand what's going to happen not only today but tomorrow. God's perspective says worry doesn't change anything. That's one reason not to worry. It doesn't change anything, does it? Look at verses 26 and 27. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You could have put any measurement there. One whit. It doesn't add anything to your stature to worry about how tall you are. The worrying about it, if anything, it not only doesn't improve your physical condition, if that's what you're worried about, it actually makes it worse, doesn't it? And so the irony is, when we worry and allow anxiety to dominate our lives, it not only doesn't fix the problem, it makes it worse. It only adds problem to problem, and it doesn't change a thing. To worry about something you can't change is useless. To worry about something you can't change is foolish. And every time you review a worry in your mind, it gets bigger. And so Jesus is telling us you have to have his perspective about life. And that begins with understanding that worry does not change anything. Now, by that I mean it doesn't change anything positively. It may change something, but it's you that it changes. It's me that it changes for the worse. It can make us sick. It can make us sleepless. It can make us hard to live with. It can make us unproductive. It can do so many things to us, but none of them are good. We've been over this subject before, and I've shared with you that I'm convinced that worry, at least for me, and this is something I do struggle with, it is a defense mechanism. I feel like if I worry about something, if I think about all the possible terrible things that could happen from this one thing that I know right now, if I rehearse all of the possible horrible consequences that could flow from it, then I'm prepared if it happens. I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to be surprised. It's a defense mechanism. But the problem is when you go through life that way with every little thing that comes along, then you are having to live through the pain of all of those possible consequences that never happen. Because as you rehearse it in your mind, you feel it in your own body and in your own emotions. And so we end up needlessly harming ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, with 90% of things we worry about never happen anyway, right? So it doesn't change anything for the good when we try to take control, when we try to be in control of the situation. Then in verses 26 and 28, worry is not how God made us. God didn't make us to worry. That's not how we came into this world. You weren't born a worrier. So when you were a small child, you didn't lay there, you know, before you could walk, when you were laying there on the blanket, you didn't lay there and worry about everything. You just depended on your parents or on your grandparents, your guardian, whoever was raising you and taking care of you. You depended on them. So you didn't come into this world a worrier. Worrying is a learned behavior. I think many times we learn it from those that we observe. And so if you grew up in a family where you had a lot of worriers, you're probably going to be a worrier because you watched them worry and you learned how to do it yourself. And that then becomes a part of who you are. In fact, you have to practice to get good at it. You have to practice worrying to be a good worrier. But don't do that. Don't practice worrying. But it is not how God created you. This is something that we become through our own experience and through a lot of practice. The only species in God's creation that worries about the future is human beings, I think. Now, I know animals, you know, they do things by instinct and they prepare. Like the squirrels, you know, they're getting ready for the winter and all that kind of thing. But I don't think they're sitting there consciously worrying about it. Like we would worry about it. We don't think that God will take care of us. That's the spiritual problem with worrying. It is a statement to God about how we feel about Him. That God, I don't think you're going to do what I need. Now, it could be a slight variation of that. We may know that God will do what we need. We're just worried that He won't do what we want Him to do. And that's a different problem, see. But both have to do with our surrender to God's control and our trust in Him. We need to trust Him. Worry is unnecessary. God has promised to take care of us. He's asked us to trust Him with the details of life. As a child, if you asked your father and mother for something, I don't think you worried about whether or how they were going to be able to do it. If it was the right thing, they would just supply it. And God is far beyond any earthly parent in His ability to supply what we need. And that's what Jesus means when He said, are you not of more value than they, meaning the birds of the air? So if God takes care of the birds, and if He takes care of the flowers of the field, which today they're there and tomorrow they may be gone, then won't He take care of us? Jesus is asking a rhetorical question. The answer of course He will. Of course He will. Because we are of more value than they are. That's a whole nother discussion that people would contend with today about the birds of the air and maybe even the flowers. Which is more important, human beings or the animals or the flowers? Well, the Bible says you're more important than they are. If they have their place, God created them. But Jesus said, if God takes care of the birds and the flowers, are you not of more value than they are? Yes, you are. So if He takes care of those things, He's going to take care of you. And He's asking us to trust Him and to have faith that He will do exactly that. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? And He gives the example of the lilies of the field. They don't do anything to take care of themselves. They don't toil. They don't spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God gave such beauty to the flowers of the field, the lilies. And so if God would crown the lily with such beauty, then he's going to crown you with what you need to be the person that he wants you to be. He's going to take care of you. Now, life brings so many things our way, and some of them are dreadful. They're very painful, very hard to deal with. And so I'm not talking about it's wrong to have grief or anything of that nature. That's part of being a human being. It's part of life. Jesus wept. Jesus had great emotion. But worry is something other than that. The kind of worry, anxiety Jesus is talking about is about the things of life that we have no control over and that we must trust God for, and therefore it's not our place. It isn't our right to try to control the future. God is the only one who can fill that role and to sit on the throne. He is the King and he is the Lord. And so Jesus says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, verse 30, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There it is. Jesus is saying this is a faith issue. It's a faith issue. When we do not relinquish control to God, we are saying we don't trust him. We don't have enough faith that he will do what is best. Or we're saying we don't have enough faith to submit to what he wants. And so whatever he desires, what he will give us, what he believes we need, do we believe that that's enough? Will we trust him in that? I think sometimes we're worried that it's not. And so it's not that we don't think God can give us things or provide what we need from his perspective. It just may not be what we're hoping for. And so God is asking us that our desires be in line with his kingdom. Know that God will add to your life the things that you need. He already knows what we need. And so you can be at peace and rest in him that God is going to provide for you. Therefore, he says, verse 31, do not worry. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Jesus says, therefore, do not worry. If God is like this, and if he's capable of providing what you need, don't worry about it. That's what he says. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And you could go on and list a whole long list of questions you could come up with. But he is saying, don't worry about things that are out of your control. Trust God instead. And then he says in verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. So the belief or the idea that through repetition, rituals before pagan gods, the Gentiles believed they could get what they wanted. And people may use worry in that way, almost like a ritual. That if I worry about this and I think about it incessantly, then in the end I'll get what I want. Don't be like a pagan. God is not impressed with that. Instead, he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You need food, you need shelter, you need clothing. God knows you need those things, the basic things of life. He will supply what you need. And then verse 34, he tells us, focus on living today. That's the other thing about worry. When you worry about tomorrow, when you worry about what's coming, it robs you of today. If you spend all your time thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, a year from now, then what happens to today? You don't live today. You don't live today. You worry all day about what's coming the next day. And Jesus specifically says in verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. I think some translations say tomorrow has enough to worry about itself. And it does. Every day has something you could worry about, right? Every day. And so that's the other thing about worry. You can worry all day long and think you've got everything figured out, you've got it all nailed down, and then tomorrow comes and everything is blown up. You have to start all over again. That's a tiring life, isn't it? That's a weary life to spend your whole life worrying about 90% of the things never even happen. Every day is going to have something else. And that's kind of how life is. I mean, we all go through life kind of feeling like, well, okay, I got through this, and now I'm starting to feel better, and everything's going to be smooth sailing now. And then something else happens, right? That's the way it's going to be. And we just think, well, if I can just get through this next thing, then once that's done, we'll have it all figured out, and it's going to be smooth sailing. No. I don't mean to bring be a bearer of bad news, but it isn't going to be smooth sailing. There will always be something else. Now, granted, some things are much, much worse than others. We have to be honest about that. There are some experiences that are horrific, and other things are minor in comparison. But there will always be things out there that are going to pop up. And that's why we need to train ourselves to follow what Jesus is telling us here. Instead of worrying, trust. Instead of trying to hang on to control, surrender control to God. Focus on living today and doing what Jesus says to do, which is a substitute for worry. What is the substitute Jesus gives us for worrying? Verse 32. Beginning of verse 33, actually. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So Jesus says, don't do this, don't worry, but instead seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How would life be different for us if the first thing we thought about in the morning and the last thing we thought about at night was the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How would our lives be different? What if that became the driving force of our existence? Not, you know, how am I going to get what I want today, or this thing that I think might happen tomorrow, we spend hours upon hours worrying about it. What if instead we were thinking about, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? Lord, what would you have me to do today? How can I live in a way that brings honor to your name? How can I tell somebody else about you? How can I encourage another person? I have a feeling a lot of the worries would just drift away. They'd fall by the wayside because we're focused on something else, something far more important, something eternal. Something that isn't just going to pass away, but it's going to last. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God will take care of all those things that you're worried about. He'll provide a way for you to get through it. And even when the worst things happen, the worrying wouldn't change it anyway. And God will still be there to help us to get from this day to the next day. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and yes, forever. The same yesterday and today and forever. That means he'll be doing the same thing tomorrow that he was doing yesterday. And so, if you have questions about the future, look at the past. Look at the goodness of God. Look at who Jesus is. because he's going to be there tomorrow, so you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Did he sustain you last week? Did he sustain you a year ago? Did he help you through that horrible thing you had to go through? Yes, he did. And therefore, he's going to be there tomorrow and the next day and a year from now. He will sustain you in the future the way he has in the past and the way that he is today. Therefore, instead of worrying, trust. Look to him. Put his kingdom first. And know that God will then provide every step of the way what you need. Would you pray with me? We thank you, Lord, for this passage. It's not hard to understand, but sometimes it's very hard, Lord, to put into practice. And so we pray that tonight, if we feel overcome with worry about something, we ask, Lord, that we will listen to what you say here and begin to do what you've told us to do. Put your kingdom first. Put our mind on you and your things. And know that you're then going to provide a way. You'll make a way in the desert. You'll provide a way for us no matter what it is we face. We thank you, Lord, for how you have sustained us and helped us every day that we've been alive. And that we can know you'll do that every day that you leave us here on this earth. As we have our time of invitation, we pray this will be a time of commitment. That you would lead us, Lord, and help us to commit ourselves to you that we might put these words into practice. And when you say, therefore, do not worry, Lord, help us to have the peace that passes all understanding as we obey you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing our invitation hymn. I'll be up front to receive you, to pray, to help. Whatever God leads you to do, publicly or privately, as we sing, you follow his directions.